Amen. Please be seated. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Words like, lo, I am with you always. Words like, come, you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Words like, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Beautiful words. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Father God, we thank You for all Your words. We thank You for the words that You spoke. You spoke on the mountain to Moses. We thank You for the words that You spoke through the prophets. We thank You for coming here in human form and speaking directly to us. And we thank You for Your gift of the Holy Scriptures, Your very Word given to us. Your very Word given to us. Father, may we appreciate it now more than ever. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Genesis tells us that God reached down and scooped up the dust from the ground and formed man and breathed life into his nostrils. And the man became a living thing. And the Gospel of John tells us that right when Jesus was preparing to depart, He went to those who followed Him, and it says He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. There's something about the breath. And breath and wind and spirit all have the same name in the Greek. It's pneuma. We hear it in pneumatic, you know, things that have to do with air. It's pneuma. And when God breathed into us, breathed life into us and began a chain that's lasted since Adam. When Adam took that first breath and came alive, that has been the beginning of every human life on this earth. It has started the same way. That child taking that first breath and opening its eyes to the new world around it. And it was the same thing. When Jesus breathed on them and said, receive my Holy Spirit, spiritually a new thing happened and they became new creatures. And the same thing is still available for us as well. We breathe in that Holy Spirit of God. And our eyes really get opened for the first time to the world around us. I'm going to be reading from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, starting with verse 21, telling the story about an old man and an old woman, a young man and a young woman, and a baby. The beginning of Luke, actually, the central characters are two old men and two old women, a young couple, and then two babies, right? We have Zacharias and Elizabeth, the old couple that have John the Baptist, and then we have the young couple that brings Jesus. And then we have this old man and old woman in the temple as they bring Jesus, the baby, into the temple. And it almost seems like there might be some sort of statement there, some sort of passing. The very last prophet of his kind, John the Baptist, was brought into the world by that old couple. And then there was a change as this young girl, Mary, brings forth the Messiah. And then on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the Lord of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign God, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for this in the sight of all people, light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped day, night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. What an incredible, beautiful passage of Scripture as they take Jesus in. They bring him to the temple. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And I would put out for thought that until the time Jesus was taken in, that every firstborn male was taken in because that was the law, that was tradition, that's what they had always done, that's what the law required. And going back generation after generation after generation, this is what had always happened. And I would say every child up until Jesus, that was the reason they did it, or that they thought they did it. But I think it's possible that when that law was first created, when God first spoke those words that this is what you were to do with the firstborn male, it was for this day that Jesus would be brought in. Jesus was the fulfillment of that law, the fulfillment of that tradition. This day was always coming. God always knew that day was coming, that Simeon and Anna would be there to receive him and begin to proclaim that salvation had come. And so all those thousands and thousands of times that it happened, they were looking forward to the time when it would be the Messiah, when it would be the Christ child that would come. And so they brought Jesus into the temple, and this man, Simeon, and this is such an incredibly powerful passage because we have the Trinity together here in this one place, because they came to present the child Jesus to who? To the Lord. In the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord written by God the Father. And Simeon, moved by the Holy Spirit, to see the Son. In this one place, we see that the three persons of the Trinity together. And this powerful thing, this Simeon, who had been righteous, who had studied the Word, who knew the Word, who knew this time was coming. He quotes Isaiah. He talks about not only Israel being redeemed, but a light of revelation to the Gentiles. He has an understanding that the Messiah is for the whole world. And the Holy Spirit reveals to him. And we talked about this a few weeks ago when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and without a word, Elizabeth knew what had taken place. And without a word from a person, Simeon knew and Anna knew that this was the Christ child. This was the Messiah. They knew because the Holy Spirit revealed to them that truth. And this is a powerful, powerful statement that we need to claim for ourselves. when the Spirit reveals truth to you, you know truth without any other evidence. I know I have this book in my hand because it's here. I don't need anyone else to tell me that it's here. I know where I am. I know the people that are here. I don't need anyone to tell me or to read it anywhere. I see it. I know that it's here. When the Holy Spirit reveals truth to you, it is truth that you know. Simeon knew who this baby was. Children were brought in all the time. Baby boys, firstborn children, firstborn sons were brought in all the time. But Simeon was moved by the Spirit because this was the truth of who this child was, the Christ child, in his presence. And Simeon sings this song, "As you have promised, you now, sovereign Lord, dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And then the prophetess Anna. She was 84 years old. She'd probably been widowed for 60 or 70 years. She never left the temple but worshiped day and night. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the response when we see Jesus, when the Spirit guides us into the presence of the living Christ. We see it throughout the Christmas story. The shepherds were called to the manger, and then they went and told everyone that they knew. We see it here. Anna, the prophetess. Meaning there's only three or four women in Scripture, and she's the only one in the New Testament listed as prophets. Meaning they spoke the Word of God, meaning she taught what the Word of God of the Old Testament had said, their entire Scripture at that point. Now she began to teach them who this child was. And we've heard this through some of the Advent studies that many of you have participated in. When Jesus stood up in the temple, it was not the first time anyone heard that he was the Messiah. Because the shepherds told, Anna began to teach it. When the Magi came through, they stopped and talked to Herod. Herod called in the teachers of the law, and they discussed this. Their response was unfortunate. But to those that are introduced and accept the living Christ, wooing us to heaven. And that's what this book is about. It's about a God that loves you so much that He is reaching out and calling you and wooing you, His Holy Spirit wooing you. For that is the image of us as church, is the bride of Christ. And so He's reaching out through His Holy Spirit. He called Anna and He called Simeon and said, "Come look, this is the Savior. Here He is." And He's calling to us, "Here is the Savior." He's wooing us because He loves us in a way that we cannot begin to understand. These words, freely given, wooing us to heaven. This is what God is saying. Come with me. Come with me. It's not a fear. Far too long and far too often has the church tried to scare people into heaven. The love of God is the greatest power that exists. We don't need to resort to fear. There is a real hell. There is a real Satan. But greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. This is not a story of fear. For we're told what? It has not brought us a spirit of fear. This is a story of love. It's a story of love. And God loves us so much. He's calling us into relationship with Him. As we begin this new year, as we say often, if you've never even begun that relationship with Jesus Christ, don't let today go by. Don't let today go by. As a matter of fact, I think we'll have some folks at the end be in the parlor area toward the rear. If you'd like to come and pray with someone, just go there immediately after the service, and someone will meet you there for any reason, including if you want to meet Jesus today. For those of us who know Jesus, let us recommit ourselves to our relationship with Him. Let us let the Holy Spirit speak to us so that we know the living Christ. As Simeon knew, he was a wise man. He was a smart man. He was a learned man. No one tried to trick him into anything. He was presented with truth by the Holy Spirit, and he knew it. We are presented the same thing. So let us, on this first day of 2012, recommit ourselves to the truth that God loves us, the truth that He sent His Son to save us, the truth that the Son gave us marching orders to go and make disciples, the truth that victory is already won. Let us learn this story, this love story, and be so overwhelmed by it that we can't help. We can't help but go and tell. May that be us, for those who know it best, to be hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. You know, they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not true. My friend and an older dog than me, Jim Dorado, sat me down last week and said, "You know, Jim, we enjoy the services, but did you know that there's a difference between the benediction and the blessing?" He said the benediction is the sending forth for what you have just talked about, but the blessing is the blessing of the people by God. And so I would like to send you forth this morning to go and tell the story. That old, old story that is still very new. To go and to love one another in the name of Jesus. To go and share the love that God has for you with someone who God is calling you even now to share it with. Then I would like to bless you with a blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His countenance to shine upon you. And what the Scripture says now, the modern versions say, and give you peace. But what it says is to give you shalom. And shalom is not just peace. Shalom is healing and wholeness and forgiveness and peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His countenance to shine upon you and give you shalom. Amen.